CliffCentral.com.
This show contains adult content. If you find it offensive, please go to the CliffCentral.com website where there's a show for you.
Talk on CliffCentral.com. It is Friday morning. This is Unradio. This is Unscripted. And this is Uncensored. And tomorrow and I are all alone in the studio.
Which is always dangerous. It's a bit dangerous.
It is. But we keep talking serious things this morning.
No, not at all. Not at all. I refuse. I refuse to talk serious things, Chanti. The fact that it's important and the fact that it has...
Let's call them deep and important things. How about that?
Deep is a good beginning and important, that's for sure.
Better than serious. It's hard for us to be serious.
A week before Sexpo, we've just looked at all kind of different... dirty dictionary words that you have to choose from that are extremely hilarious. Yeah. Can't say it's serious.
So that's a good starting point. Dirty dictionary word.
Ninja Sex. Chocolate Starfish. Twitter Bag. Calypagium.
Today's dirty dictionary word is...
Beating the bongos.
Dirty dictionary word.
I had a real chuckle with this one. So if you think you know what beating the bongos is, message us on 079-748-2090 on WhatsApp. Mm-hmm. Any clues? Any ideas?
Well, if you beat it, it means that there's some kind of, you know, there's some kind of beat involved. So I suspect it has to do with some kind of spanking or touching. Touching roughly some parts of the body.
Well, you're definitely there with the spanking.
Okay.
But the spanking, what?
Just the, I think that the
very
term.
Very specific.
The bongos. Mm. The must be like connected to ass.
To ass.
Ass. Spanking and bongos. It's the sound. Wait, let me do the sound.
You better do it really.
There we go.
Okay, no, just a little bit more.
Okay. Yeah, is that the sound? Yeah, the bongo is deeper. No, let me go. Let me go to the bottom part. Yeah, there is some kind of bongo involved.
Yes. So there is. So we'll come back to that. No, let's do it now, Ron. See, we're in the area. So beating the bongos is when you are having sex doggy style and you are behind somebody and you are smacking their ass while you are fucking.
As a fun, like, woo!
Well, it could be fun, could be hard, could be gentle.
But all right.
That's what
but you do it. You have your beautiful... Well, you know, I twerked a bit last week here in the studio and finally I have friends. Mm-hmm. So I feel loved because of my attempt to twerk. Mm-hmm. So now when I'm starting to understand that I'm so accepted and loved in South Africa because of my bongos, maybe I should get York and some other, you know, victims to just beat them properly. Maybe that's going to be the video of today, beating the bongos.
We can do that.
Yeah.
We can do that.
It doesn't have to be, you know.
And any day next week that you want to come and get your bongos beaten, just drop into Sexpo.
Well, we'll be doing something a bit different.
Real simple.
We'll be doing something a bit different, but you know I'm game.
Very, very simple. So we are going to talk today about sexual healing, sexual growth, sexual possibilities, and sexual authenticity. Deep stuff that impacts on almost every single one of us in our lives. So let's go from the beginning. Any questions that you have about sexual healing, about sexual energy, message us, 079-748-2090. We are also on, what's it called, Twitter, little birdie?
What's it called?
Twitter.
John, you are so good with social media. Now you're like, what's it called, that blue thing?
Twitter.
Yeah, the thing that Donald Trump loves so much.
Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen. With my lover, we have had a week of the most incredible and intense sexual energy experiences.
Another amazing week.
Another amazing week.
Yeah.
And we've gone to a place where there are literally, I cannot in all my eloquence describe the experiences. There aren't words.
That's important to say that there aren't words, which means you don't define it.
No.
You try not to define it.
It is totally in the feeling, in the energy, in the experience. And afterwards, to try and actually put words, it doesn't come close to what it is. Mm-hmm. But I want to tell you where it comes from, because somebody asked me this. It comes from being in your heart and being in connection.
Okay.
That's where it comes from. And it just allows us to tap into this place where we go into these experiences and something happens. There's no planning. There's no, this is what we're going to do.
And there's no patterning as well. You put the patterning inside, you leave space.
This is really important when we get to healing. Because Shanti said this to me, we were talking about it. And I've come to see, particularly this week, it is the basis of all healing is all of the issues that we have are from a disconnect.
From ourselves, from each other?
From disconnecting from parts of ourselves, from each other.
Mm-hmm.
And all healing is the journey into connection. Firstly with yourself, with different parts of yourself, then with another, with others, with life. And all healing is about that.
Isn't it kind of explaining that this is the whole journey of life, the whole idea of unpacking, you know, what does it mean to trust? What does it mean to live fully? What does it mean? Eric, you've joined in a very deep conversation today. Yeah. I think we'll see a different side of Eric today. Yeah.
So are you wearing sunglasses because you're stoned, because you're drunk,
Dave just kicked
a hangover?
Him.
No, just wearing sunglasses because I have sunglasses.
Okay.
And they're nice. Put them back on.
Okay.
Cool. No.
Yeah,
why,
no.
Dog?
No, I'll tell you why. Okay. Because I want to see somebody's eyes when I talk to them.
Is this fine? Does this count?
Yeah, that's better. I hate that. I hate sitting and talking to somebody with sunglasses on.
I had a pharmacist last week who was with sunglasses. Now, that was weird. You're like going to Clicks and you're like, hello, can I get this antibiotic? And they're looking at you with sunglasses. You're like,
that's like a blank stare. You're just like, what?
Yeah, and you're like, dude, we're not dealing with drugs here. It's okay. It's just antibiotics or something.
Yeah, like just, I want to see the person.
Okay.
And the eyes are where we make contact.
That's very true.
So I want to engage with you. I don't engage with your sunglasses. Mm. I don't care how nice they are.
I don't want to engage with a perception. I want to engage with the real. With
you.
Mm.
And in healing, that's what we're looking at. We're saying, let's get into that connection. So we separate enormously from our sexuality. And this happens from the time that we are
before,
small.
Yeah.
So every child spends lots of time with their hands in their pants. And it's not about sex. Simply it's comforting.
True.
So it feels good. And
but boy, oh boy, we get shamed for it. And
so
we get,
we're told it's dirty, it's nasty, it's horrible, you're going to go blind, it's going to fall off, all sorts of things. And then what happens is we have all sorts of funny words for our genitals that don't have much to do with the rest of us. It's like my nose. This is always my nose. I might think it's big or it looks funny, but it's my nose. But our genitals have all these separate funny words that are not part of the rest of our body. So we further separate from them. And then we hit puberty and all sorts of embarrassing things start to happen. So girls start to get periods and sometimes they get education for that and sometimes they don't. I was with a client yesterday afternoon. She said when she asked her mother, standard five, she asked her mother about sex. So what's that, grade 7?
yeah.
would be. Mm-hmm. So she asked her mother about sex. Her mother gave her the Reader's Digest book of sex and said, here, read this because that can explain it better than I
could. Oh, wow. And you're sick, by the way. That's called being sick. Yeah. You are contaminated. Yeah, yeah.
And then it's with boys, like when you're going to start growing pubic hair, you get erections at the weirdest of times. Somebody's bigger, somebody's smaller. And there's all sorts of kind of embarrassment about that. Then we start having sex, and very often with very little knowledge, very little information. And for women particularly, it becomes that your pleasure becomes dependent on somebody else. I have to make you come. And then you're only a sexual being mm-hmm. when you're in a relationship.
Yep.
So you're a sexual being in a very specific context, and that's all. So we become very separated from our genitals, from our pleasure. Mm-hmm. So this is the way that we work. We work in terms of patterns and conditioning. Mm. Every time you brush your teeth in the same way. You bath or shower, you wash in the same way. Sexually and in relationship, and the extension of that becomes life, we do the same thing in the same way. Whether it works or not is irrelevant. We do it because it works, or we think it works. Or it's all that we know, or it's our comfort zone. And that's what we do. Mm-hmm. So it all becomes about an energy. And this is the model that I work with. So everything in our world has a frequency. Every color has a frequency. Every sound has a frequency. Every organ in the body has a range of optimal health. Anything above or below that is not healthy. Every emotion has a frequency, and what's been discovered is the emotions are the same in all of us. Mm. So there was a guy hooked people up to a machine similar to an ECG machine, and he got people to feel the range of emotions and found out that the graph of those is the same in all of us. The triggers are different.
Okay, what makes me angry?
Different to what makes me angry.
Okay.
So that's kind of the personal stuff of that. Everything that we do falls into a frequency. Everything that's been done to us falls into a frequency. So most of us live with these very narrow and very set frequencies. We do the same thing in the same way. We eat the same kind of food. We watch the same kind of movies. We read the same kind of books, those of us who read books. And that's what we do. So these patterns get very set in our bodies. So the first level of the pattern is something called muscle memory. So muscle memory says that every time you do something, you're reinforcing the pattern of it. So for example, when you learn to drive, you have to learn to coordinate the clutch and the accelerator and the gears and everything else. It becomes a pattern that you need to learn. And it's difficult in the beginning. So you stall the car, and you, instead of putting the indicator on, you put the wipers on.
And stuff, yeah.
That's it. And then you get in a different car, and everything's on the opposite side.
Yeah.
And one car's an automatic, one car's a manual.
Are you looking for the clutch, just stepping on the bottom of the clutch?
Oh, so like my car's an automatic. I go to Cape Town, you hire a car, it's a manual. So you forget about the clutch.
And you stall.
And then I come back here, and I get in my car, and the first thing is I'm looking for the clutch.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what we do. Yeah. But we've done it for so long that we know the pattern, so we don't need to relearn the pattern. Okay, so now let's expand that. And this is kind of where it gets interesting. Body positions are part of your muscle memory. So every time you are in a situation or position that is going to lead to sex, your body kicks in a pattern because that's the muscle memory.
Okay.
So if somebody has had a difficult or traumatic or even unfulfilled sexual experience, and this is important because the amount of women who don't have orgasms, according to some studies, is over 60%.
Hmm.
The pattern of that says that as soon as you're in a sexual position, your body kicks a pattern in.
So I'm in doggy style now, and then I'm just, I know what to do. I'm in the manual. I'm there.
That's it.
That's it. I'm bonging. Somebody's beating the bongos for me.
Your body puts you in the pattern.
Okay.
So that's the memory. Then there's a communication between your brain and your body of how everything is working.
It's almost like when you get a desire to eat something and you think, let's say, I know you have a different analogy to that, but you think, okay, let me just go and grab something. You almost, you just want to fulfill that thing. But what happens if you put consciousness inside. And you actually enjoy making the salad and baking something for yourself, like taking, put a bit of effort and not doing what you do every day. Yeah. Then you actually say, wow, this is a whole different experience of just going and, you know, grabbing from Woolies a sandwich or something and shoving it in literally as because the hunger was switched on. It's a whole different experience. It's both eating.
Yeah, but you're jumping the gun here because we've got a few steps before you get there.
No, I was just trying to see if I'm getting the right.
Yes, you're getting the right idea.
Okay.
So in terms of your body, think about, so as a woman, when you're going to have sex, you're going to open your legs in some way, whether you're on your back, you're on your tummy. As soon as you do that, your body puts you in the pattern.
Very true. Okay.
Then there's the communication between your body and your brain, which is the energy pattern of your body's response.
Okay, you went holistic here again.
Okay. You didn't have an orgasm the first time you had sex, and for most people, first sexual experience is not great. How, was your first sexual experience? Mine was horrible.
Yeah, it was shit.
Mine was shit.
Mine was good.
Mine was weird.
Horrible.
Popped out and then begged. Yeah. It's fucked up. Yeah, it's fucked. Sorry. Like, that's the best.
It wasn't good.
Yeah. It hurt, actually.
Okay. It hurt to me, not to her.
It hurt me. She was okay. She was laughing. I wasn't.
So if she laughs at you, that adds to a pattern. So you feel embarrassed. And immediately, that adds a layer to your sexual energy.
Hmm. It prints.
That's it. It's an imprint.
Mm-hmm.
So every time you have sex and you don't have an orgasm as a woman, you're adding to the pattern. You're adding to the pattern.
I'm not
capable. You're reinforcing the pattern.
Okay.
Okay. So then you're adding emotion to the pattern.
Disappointment, anger.
Frustration, all those sorts of things. So you felt embarrassed. Somebody laughed at you. You feel embarrassed or shamed.
And more pain than embarrassment.
Yeah. So that comes online.
She was tight.
Your body remembers it. So we go into that patterning. Then you add things like guilt, shame, and embarrassment that go naturally with sex for us because of the way that we're taught about sex. It's not celebrated.
Exactly. If you go back to those ages when you start touching yourself and then when you start having sexual experiences when you're a teenager, and you actually think, how many people did you share? Not like, I did it, or, you know, or does it hurt, or what should we do?
How many people were aware of the fact that you were exploring?
Or even how many people were talking to you about, did you have a good time? And did you, you know, or like, did you experience cool things, or did you pleasure her, or did she really cared about how do you like to be touched? Nobody ever asked those questions.
Yeah. And I saw a woman this week, 27 years old, she never had an orgasm. First time she had sex, so she grew up in a traditional conservative Afrikaans home in South Africa, which is the norm for a lot of people. So,
except me. Coloured home. Anyway, sorry, get on.
So you grew up in a traditional conservative coloured home.
Yeah.
There you go. Same thing. Pretty much the same perspective, on sex. That's the thing. First time she had sex, she was 18 years old. Her father found out. Really embarrassed and shamed her. Forced her to have a pregnancy test. All sorts of things like that.
For
negative
sure.
association with sex and pleasure. So the next time she has sex, she has all of that patterning coming online.
Weighing down on her. Yeah.
That's it. So as soon as she's in that position, somebody kisses her, starts touching her, the pattern kicks in.
Mm-hmm. And it builds layers and layers. We don't even know where the first layer lies. We actually don't know.
So the first layer often is before we're even born.
Mm.
But then we add generational patterns, stuff that you're picking up from your mother, that you're picking up from your father. Tribal patterns, which are the tribes that we grow up in, the religion, the social groups. So all of that becomes part of our sexuality.
Mm. Yeah, it's there. It's all there.
Yeah. So when we're looking at the idea of sexual healing, we're looking at going from a space of disconnect to a space of connection with all the parts of our sexuality. And that's where what Galen talks about. My friend Galen Fuss in America is a therapist who works with fetish and kink. And his fantastic book of Exploring Your Kink is about
decoding
your kink. My apologies. Is about coming into a state of sexual authenticity, which is acknowledging and owning and accepting all of the parts of your sexuality.
First, you need to know them.
Absolutely.
It usually emerges in a later stage of your life.
Well, like, no, it doesn't.
Really?
That's the interesting thing.
Okay.
Is it often emerges when we're pretty young. But we don't have a place to put it. We don't have a context. And very often we don't have anybody to talk to about it. So it brings up judgment. And we start to shut it down. So we suppress it. It goes somewhere else. If you suppress it, it has to come out in a way that becomes aberrant. So that means not healthy, not natural expression. Because it's an energy that gets suppressed, so it comes out somewhere else.
Our sexual behavior or our sexual authenticity, not necessarily even get any kind of channel to express it or to really, you don't think anybody cares in a young age. You're trying to do something, you try to maybe imitate something you've seen or you try to be like everybody else. The reality is that sexual behavior becomes also a channel for aggression, to ventilate, to de-stress, to be cool, to be like everybody, to be, you know, cool in front of your friends or, you know, I've done it. Think about all of that, that actually people have sex.
People, yeah.
Yeah, but it becomes ego-based sex.
Yeah, it's not because of sexual behavior at all. It has nothing to do with your sexual expression, the fact that maybe you're 16 and you're, you know, persuading your girlfriend to have sex, because then you're going to be really cool. Yeah. You're actually going to go and say to your mates, I've done it. I'm actually just cool. And it has nothing to do with your sexual urges or needs or likes.
That's it. But then there's enormous fear of judgment if you express your sexual urges in the true way. So the fetish and the kink stuff, sometimes it does come up later in life, but often that interest is there. Something sparks it. And at some point, but then I suppress it. So like, for example, a lot of women when they're young, they have a squirting experience. They have an ejaculation. So there's all this fluid. They don't know what it is. So they get embarrassed and they think they've actually weed. Mm. Their partner doesn't know what it is. So they turn it inwards and it becomes what's called a retrograde ejaculation, which means it's happening inside.
Mm.
And then years later, they want to have this experience again. And then you have to deal with all the emotional patterning around it before your body will do it again.
Mm. Yeah.
So it becomes not about the fullness of our expression because we've disconnected these parts of ourselves. So the parts of us who might want to tie somebody up or be tied up, we disconnect that. The part of us that has these weird desires to explore who knows what in this incredible range of human sexuality, if I share that with you, you're going to judge me. Then maybe you're going to leave me. And I get embarrassed about that, but I really want you to stay. So I'm not going to do that. And I suppress it.
Two things. One, you had a customer. Well, you had a couple that you were helping in the relationship, and they have a son. And I don't know if you remember, but they've tried also to get their son to come to you to talk, but he was a bit embarrassed. So he was in a position that he was keen to learn more about his sexuality. But he wasn't aware of what are the possible. He didn't know himself well. And he says, I love myself and I want to explore. But anyway, was too embarrassed to continue. But I remember that I had the chat with him saying, why doesn't he come to you? And he said that it was inside of him. The actual idea that something is wrong with him, the fact that he doesn't know what he likes, what he gets turned on by. Second thing that comes up for me, before you even know your kinks, your fetishes, your likes, there's so much of the behavior of the day to day, like me as a woman, to be liked, to be held by a man, to, you know, when I was younger, I just wanted, you know, sex was for me, you know, you are my everything. Sex was for me, I'll give you everything because I really believe that this is the right thing to do.
Yeah.
It wasn't from any, you know, it wasn't trauma or anything involved. It was just
the love
sexuality
of addiction.
Is yours, and sexuality is my way to show you I love you, and sexuality is most likely what you're going to say, because in the end of the day, if I'm all yours. And it was just not corrected by anybody. It was never, what do you really like? What would you like today? There was just not a space. So it starts even before you know what you are.
Yeah.
You don't even have tools to think, who am I? What do I like? What do I like today? So many dynamics are actually influencing it before you get to exploration. That's why I'm guessing if you sit in a healing, you know, in a therapy room, you have to go through layers.
Yeah, you do. That's such a cool message from one of our listeners.
Yeah.
It's a public holiday in Ireland, which is
St. Patrick's Day.
There we go, St. Patrick's Day. I've literally just woken up from a hot dream about being pleasured with the vibrators and all the good stuff I saw in Amsterdam recently. Now I'm listening to you guys. What a start. Today is going to be a good day.
Sweet.
And Henry wants to know about, is the premier sex show in South Africa not giving away some Sexpo tickets? Henry, go to the Sexpo Facebook page and find out. It's a good question.
It is.
Go and find out.
Try to just come with a G-string. Try to come with a G-string and a cool hat.
Well, send a picture of yourself to them, Henry, in a G-string and a cool hat.
No, but then who will tell you no? I love it. Louis C.K. says, you know, when you're on an airplane, if you just start saying down, 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 you know, they will put the airplane down. But you just said down. So you just go to Sexpo with a G-string and say, let me in, let me in. You might go in.
Or they might phone the police.
I don't think so. He's with a G-string.
This is weird.
Do you think Louis C.K. is funny?
I love him.
Really?
I love him.
Yeah,
I
couldn't get into him. Do you think Louis C.K.
Yeah, Louis C.K. is funny.
Yeah?
Yeah.
He's depressed funny.
Yeah, he's got that. I'm sad. I'm going to tell you why I'm sad, and you're going to find it hilarious, even though I'm telling you I'm sad. Like, it's from that point of his life.
He's real.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Okay. I haven't seen much of his stand-up stuff.
I'll send you a
few. So I've seen, there was a TV series that he did.
Louis. Yeah, Louis.
And I didn't think that was, I thought, like, go away.
I think he's hilarious.
That is like everyday life.
Yeah.
That's just, this is what I have to go through in order to get on stage. This is what happens in my life, and this is what I talk about.
So. He comes from a school of you know, that like the office humor, you put your head down in shame and you think, oh my word, this is like somebody's life. It's sad. I feel better with myself. This is kind of the school that he comes from. But yeah, I find him hilarious. But that's because he loves laughing about himself and about humanity. Anyway.
Oh, we've got to laugh at ourselves.
Yeah. So, you know, Jonty, I have a psychologist, a very nice psychologist, best friend. And she always says, isn't Jonty just scared to facilitate that space of sexual healing? There's so much there. We just covered in 10 minutes trauma, shame, guilt, patterning, bad experiences, things that you have lost, maybe time you have lost that you think, you know, you'll never have again. And then you sit there in front of the person and what happens? What's going on there?
Well,
with you.
You know, as soon as you have that attitude, why are you scared to facilitate that? Then you can't go there. So it comes from, we have to be comfortable with ourselves as healers. And that's really, really important. So the space of sexual healing is, it's a different space. It's a very, it's an amazing space because of the depths that you go to and what you share with people and the possibilities that emerge. One of those is looking at how sexuality connects to every other aspect of our lives.
It's a good incentive.
When you heal your sexuality, you heal your life. You heal your heart. And it's the doorway into so much. So there's a point in a sexual healing journey where it becomes about growth, where it becomes about exploration. And then it's using our sexuality as a tool for personal inquiry, for inquiry in our relationship, to go places, to have experiences, to say, what does this bring up in you? What does it bring up in me? How does it bring us closer? What does it show us of each other? How can we reveal more of ourselves in the space to each other and create greater intimacy, greater understanding, greater connection, discussion with each other? Because some of the stuff it brings up, I have to tell you, is really challenging. You see things in yourself.
Really? So it's challenging for you?
Of course it is.
Okay.
Because we all have a perception of ourselves. We have an idea that we know who we are to a certain degree. And as you learn more and more on any way of healing, it reveals more of who you are. Different things about yourself come up. So in sexuality, it comes up often in a way of, I never thought that would excite me. You know, I've had experiences like that. Where
shut the door.
It's like you've even seen it in porn, and you think, okay, so if I had an opportunity to do that, I never would because it just doesn't kind of grab me. But in the moment, something happens inside of you, and it's like, oh, fuck, I want to do this. And something happens. or you see something, you hear something that wakes something inside of you up that you have no idea was there before.
That's a big thing.
And that can shock you because all of a sudden it's like, that's not part of me.
Mm.
Especially when you look at some of who you are, you have this image. You're this really nice, gentle, loving person.
Light.
And a beast wakes up with claws and fangs. And then what?
And then what?
It's like, what do I do with that?
What do you do with it?
Well, you go and you have an experience.
Well, not with a client.
No. Something happens in a moment. You have an experience. And all of a sudden it's like, what does that mean? What is that? Where does that put me? Who am I all of a sudden? Because your self-definition has really been blown out of the water. So like you're a straight guy.
Yes, I believe so, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden.
Straight tight.
In a moment.
Straight tight.
Something happens with another man.
It's like, oh, how do you know where he was yesterday? Suddenly.
That's disgusting. No.
No, it was a small, you know, changing room in the stand-up comedy show.
But all of a sudden, move out of the way and he then touched me inappropriately and now I like men.
And all of a sudden, like something in that moment wakes up inside. It's like, okay, but then we don't have a place to put it. So we put all sorts of judgment on it. It's good, it's bad, it's right, it's wrong.
Okay.
Instead of saying, wait a minute. If something felt good, maybe that's a part of my sexual nature. And if I can take the label out of the equation, maybe it just becomes another avenue to explore. Like a lot of, when we spoke to Trevor a few weeks ago about the Mantopia parties, a lot of men are having sexual experiences with other men. They don't consider themselves gay.
For sure.
Because gay is, and I was talking to another health practitioner this week, and she was asking about this. And she said, she actually never thought about that before. Gay is about the emotional life. It's your identification. It's not about your genitals.
That sounds like the right way to define it.
Yeah. It's who you are.
Yeah. It's not about your genitals.
It's not only who you have sex with.
True.
So you could have sex with somebody of the same gender. It doesn't mean that you're gay.
I hear you.
It's simply.
No, you're looking at. No, I'm listening. Carry on.
Because I want to hear what you say about
it. No. But carry on. I'm listening. I'm sorry.
Eric, what does it mean you're listening? We solicit a reaction from you to say maybe it's true. But you know what? You see the patterning.
See, Dave, that he just did. He did the sucking dick motion. That's Dave.
You see how much men are being judged if they will just say it's an idea and I accept it. No, they're homophobic friends. Homophobic.
No, I didn't have anything to say. No, literally, when I say I'm listening, it means
you are listening.
I want to get to the end of that before I make my comment on
before
what
you
I want
to
say.
Open your mouth to change feet.
Exactly.
As you usually do.
Okay, you're saying so?
But it simply says that maybe there's another avenue of pleasure that doesn't have anything to do with the label. That's all. It's kind of that simple. But it means that I expand my self-definition. And that challenges us because we go to places that we didn't know existed within ourselves.
Okay.
And very often, we don't have the tools to integrate that on our own.
For sure.
We need help. But the problem comes in, we get embarrassed.
We don't
want to
help because of embarrassment, yeah.
That's it.
We fear the judgment that people may cast upon us.
In the other side of the studio.
Because of us going, I like that. It is weird, and it's not what society...
That's it.
What you call it, promotes. It's more of a shame than anything else.
Yeah, and that's where kind of our tribal grouping comes from, our religious grouping. All of those things impact on us. So it comes down to quite a lot, this idea of the retreat that we're running in Mozambique, which is called Your Sexual Story. And a big part of that is the understanding that your sexual story is not yours. You opened a book and you read a story that was given to you. You didn't write the story yourself. So the story was given to you by your parents, by your religion, by society, by family, by the media, by what you thought it should be instead of what it could be. And this is the really big words, should and could. We think we know how it should be. We think we know what a relationship should be. We think we know what sexual experiences should be, how a man should be, how a woman should be, what the possibility. We don't even look at what the possibilities are. We look at what we think it should be. Full stop. Problem with that is we forget about the what could be. So the what we think should is a very narrow range of possibilities and a very narrow range of frequencies. Yeah. And it's simply based on what we know. That's all. Full stop. And that becomes the limitation.
So in a sexual healing session, will you help a person to understand their sensual vocabulary better or to explore, give them tools? So the first, let's talk a little bit what happens in the clinic. It's really interesting because all of this is theory and important theory. But then, okay, let's say somebody listens, says, yeah, I'm for it. I want to change. I want to have more. I want to have more. Not because only I'm in pain. Not because I'm in trauma only. I want to have more. And then what happens?
So the model that I've worked with and that I've developed says, let's sit down and let's talk about the problems. Let's talk about the issues. Let's really understand them. Let's see what they are. If you try and fix the problem becomes the focus.
Makes sense.
Everything is about fixing the problem. The problem is the focus of that. So then we get bogged down. We get bogged down in the past because that's where the problem came from. Then we get bogged down in other people. If only he would, then I wouldn't have this problem. If only she would, then everything would be absolutely fine.
Now you're making other people your problem. Well, that's part
it.
Of your problem.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Okay.
Or I just need to change this in me and then everything's going to be absolutely fine. You're focusing on what's not working, on what's not expansive. So it becomes a contraction. And everything, all the energy that you have, is linked to that problem.
Okay.
That becomes the focus of everything. And schools of therapy and industries are developed around fixing the problem. Maybe we can't fix the problem. Because maybe the problem is about not the problem. The problem is about the what should, which is a very limited expression. And maybe the problem is not the problem. And when we focus on that, the problem becomes the problem. Let's put the problem aside. Let's go and move a whole lot of energy. Let's expand frequencies. Let's get in touch with different parts of ourselves. Let's accept different parts of ourselves. Let's own more of ourselves. And then let's come back to the problem and let's see what's changed. Then we're in the realm of could. How could my relationship be? How could my pleasure be? How could my experiences be? We have to change this in the body. And this is where the body work in sexual healing is so important. You cannot heal sexual issues without body work. You are not going to heal them by talking.
That's a big one.
It's a big one. Because our sexuality is in our body. The patterns are in our body. The blockages, the limitations are in our body. So the way that the mind works is your mind wants to be in control. And we need that for most of what we do. We know when we get in the car, we know how to drive. Yep. We all leave here. We're going to do different things when we leave here. We know where we're going. You pick up your phone to message, you know how it works. You don't need to relearn that.
Yeah.
A lot of the patterns we need. But you want to change something and your mind says, oh, of course you can change it. And it's laughing all the way to the bank because of the control. It goes where it knows because that's where it feels safe. Whether it serves you or not is irrelevant. That doesn't matter. It goes there because that's the safety. That's linked to our survival. Like people who stay in abusive relationships, in unfulfilled relationships, it's safe because I know it. I might be really unhappy in my job. I'll stay there because I know it. I might not like South Africa. I'm not going anywhere else because I know how everything here works. I'll stay.
Yeah, survival mechanism.
That's it. So we'll stay with what's safe, even if it makes us unhappy, even if it's unfulfilling, because I know. So I'll stay there.
But if you make the decision to change it, is that a step in the right direction then? Or?
Yes.
Okay. Cool.
Because then you're starting to go into the could. You're starting to go beyond the problem. And you have to step out of safety.
In order to do.
And you will be crushed many times. And you will want to turn around, turn the wheels back and say, thank you, I had enough with that exploration shit.
I'm going to go back to what
I want to go back to safety, because a lot of things that come up are not that pleasant. Or even unfamiliar. John, you gave this example last week, the flavor of ice cream. Not sure what it is, but I would like to try it maybe again. It's not super sweet, you know. It's not maybe Belgium chocolate classically good, but it's something that arouses or stimulates my senses in a different way. And there's so once you start a journey of exploration, by the way, that links to any exploration.
Yeah, it's not only sexual.
Yeah, exactly.
You start any authentic journey.
You will get challenges.
That's it. And that's because you are confronted with yourself and the aspects of yourself. You have to own them without a judgment. They're not good. They're not bad. They're not right. They're not wrong. They are a part of you. Your authenticity, when you get to the place of greater authenticity, says I can integrate those into myself. I can find ways of expressing them that might not be destructive to myself, to my relationship, to my family, to my life. But first I have to own them, because if I don't, they have the power. And the simple truth is they will fuck you up every single time if they can, because of the power they have. When we own them, we're reclaiming ourselves. Hmm. We're reconnecting with ourselves. And in one way, it all comes down to that. Healing is reconnecting with yourself. And everything else is kind of a commentary on that. You know, there's a very interesting new model of addiction that's come out. So a lot of addiction in the past has been about treating an addiction to the substance.
Like the drug or?
Yeah, drug, alcohol, whatever it might be. The new model of addiction says that it's about a disconnect from yourself and from society and from meaning in life.
Interesting.
Fascinating study done with some rats recently where they put them in two cages of rats. One had access to heroin, to cocaine, to good food, to being in a social environment. The others were isolated. Same substances.
Okay.
The isolated rats went for the drugs. The rats who were in the social space never touched the drugs. They took the isolated rats who by now, or from the amount of time they had had with the drugs, you would presume would have been physically addicted to the drugs. They put them in the social cage. They stopped the drugs, full stop. No problem, no issue.
I wish we were rats.
Sounds so simple.
Well, on one level it is, because that's what they did in Portugal. So firstly, they legalized drugs. All hard drugs they legalized. So the rate of addiction dropped radically.
Natural selection taking place.
Then they took...
What happened to Harry?
Use all of it, man. It's fine.
Yeah.
No, but what happens if people...
Told you.
The usage dropped and dropped and dropped and dropped. Then they took people who were addicted and they started giving them something that was meaningful to them. So they had something meaningful to wake up for, something that connected them to whatever group, whatever life it was. Rate of addiction dropped so much.
Mm.
So the big thing about it is, and we have to get a little bit into conspiracy theory. Yeah.
Of course.
The big thing is how much of the pharmaceutical and health industry just supports all the crap around that.
Oh, but that's not even a question. It's not even conspiracy. It's well known that when you developed medication, it's not to help human beings. It's just to create some kind of need that needs to be fulfilled.
So many
it's a gap in the market.
health conditions have actually been created and invented rather than being...
But look at how they develop medication. They don't try to prevent anything. They try to fix something that is, you know, is already happening.
So it's not about health. A lot of health practitioners are not about health.
It's about money.
Yeah. You know, there's a wonderful model that traditional Chinese health practitioners have. You go and see them regularly to keep you healthy. So they check your diet, they give you the right substances and supplements.
They give you the right dope, you know, you're getting the right
absolutely.
Time.
Absolutely.
Forcing the right juice into your body.
Some of the most amazing research is being done in micro doses of psychedelics for depression, for anxiety, with none of the side effects that the medicated drugs have.
Even Brucey said that after they was here for with researchers that he brought.
And it's because these substances were so outlawed for so long, this was not allowed to be happening. Mm-hmm. But now it's this huge explosion of it. Anyway, we got lost. You go to this, you go to a traditional practitioner. They keep you healthy. They
monitor
your diet.
By the way, it's not anymore, huh?
You do acupuncture. They keep energy flowing. You keep paying them. When you get sick, you stop paying them until they make you better again, and then you carry on. That's a model of health. So health is about a lifestyle. Sexual health is about the fullness of the expression of your authentic sexual self. Not suppressing it. Because as soon as you suppress it, you're creating toxicity. Emotional toxicity, energy toxicity, relationship toxicity, toxicity of your soul.
Let's go back to the touch.
Is this one of those? And then she orgasms.
Let's go back to the fun part, okay?
Do you know about then she orgasms?
Yes, I was here with that show. I remember.
You're going that far in the
that's
trauma.
That's why I started laughing. That's hilarious.
Yeah, no, it's not
hilarious.
Let's
go back to the touch.
Okay, so I'm kind of scared here. I want to go back to the touch now, the toxicity of your soul.
You're afraid to explore. Why are you afraid to explore?
I want just to be touched. I want to feel nice. That's the thing. People want to feel nice when they're having sex. Just to feel nice. Oh, I orgasmed. It was nice.
Fuck nice. What do you want to play with nice for? Play with amazing. Play with intensity.
Nice.
With depth. With passion. With fire. Let it make you cry with the intensity. Teargasms. Until, you know, I had worked with a lot of women who have had teargasms. So teargasms is an orgasm that's so intense it brings tears, either because it's an emotional release or simply the intensity of it. So you think, yeah, women are going to have that kind of experience. I've had that with Shanti. And for me as a man, to have it's like, what is this? Like a whole other world of possibility, of could. Make sex that.
Did you see that happening to a man?
Never.
Or have you heard about a man that...
Never before. Hmm. After I expressed it and shared it, then men started sharing with me their experiences.
Okay.
And for a lot of men, it's the scary place because they don't know what this is. So here I am, this man, and I'm supposed to have this big orgasm. And all of a sudden, I'm in tears. What the fuck is this? I don't know what it is, and I don't know where to put it. And then guys start sharing it. The emotional connection, the intimacy, takes you to the space of such intensity that becomes your expression.
Hmm.
That's what your sex is. Not a nice little fucking squirt in the dark. I'm sorry, don't waste your time. Do it on your own. You'll have more fun.
Jonty just could have been such a good British. Don't waste your time, darling. No, don't waste your time. It's true. Why are you? Maybe you were wasting our life as well. What are you doing?
Well, how are you living? You know, I wrote an article quite a while ago. It was based on the idea that says we generally use about 10% of our brain. So we kind of accept that as
being.
Yeah,
we talked about it also last week.
Yeah, last week, yep.
So I said maybe at peak we have 30% of the pleasure that we could have.
Mm. Yeah.
So, yes, the way most people have sex, I think it's almost like what you say. It's like a nice cup of tea.
Yeah.
I don't want a nice cup of tea.
We ticked the box.
Spectacular.
We ticked the box.
Pest
did
cappuccino.
She orgasm? Yeah. Okay. And then she orgasm.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
it.
Yeah. That's it.
That was an indication of good sex.
There was no. Was it fun while we were doing it? Were there like moments where I was worried? Is she enjoying it?
Yeah.
Was it moments where she was thinking about yeah. my enjoyment?
Yeah.
Like, nothing. You're like, okay, cool. The big O is the plan.
So that's what we think.
O, I'm happy.
Yeah, and exactly. And then the patterning goes back because you know how to do it.
That's the patterning.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're back in the should instead of the could. The could comes from your heart. The could comes from intimacy, from connection, from being willing to be in a space where you have no idea where it's going to take you, from no idea how it's going to end.
That sounds scary, you know.
But I'm being present.
And in the room, in the therapy room, you provide a safe environment
to
link to it? Is it like a holistic, emotional, physical link that people can take then home and start, you know, start the journey, obviously, the other aspects of their lives? But what happens in, you said the sexual healing has to have touch.
Yeah. So our bodies are an expression of all that we are. All of those blockages are somewhere inside of us. So the body becomes the doorway in to start moving that. So you move it on a body level and an energy level, then it comes up to different levels of consciousness because we need the mind to understand it, to link it to the other things in our life to make sense of it. But the mind is not the first port of call. It's the last. And it takes time. It's an interesting thing because we live in this quick fix world.
Yeah.
And it's more instantaneous all the time. I WhatsApp you, you have to reply immediately.
You know, it becomes worse and worse.
You email me,
news.
You're waiting for a reply.
Waiting for a reply, yeah.
Everything is
being
like...
Being connected has become the issue, yeah.
Yeah, but it's this being instantaneous.
Too, yeah, it's too connected.
Instead of saying a healing journey takes
time.
Time.
Mm. Even called instant messaging.
Yeah, and in this, you really need to be kind and compassionate with yourself. To give yourself the time and the space to heal. I've learned if it takes a little bit longer, do that. Because then you're going to change something on a much deeper level. We look for this quick fix, this instant. I want an explanation. I want to know why. That's the biggest thing. As soon as I know why, I can change it. Why is the worst question you can ask on a healing journey? Because that traps you in your mind. Your mind finds something that it likes. It says, oh, yes, that's the reason. That's the answer. Instead of saying, that's one piece of this puzzle.
But wouldn't it help you in terms of a quicker healing if you do ask why?
No.
No, I mean,
if you know why, you think you can change it.
No, you can't. You do get to a point where you've learned and you know this is the reason. But sometimes you can't be satisfied with what you're hearing. Is it a bad thing?
Yeah, then keep inquiring, keep asking.
That's
what I'm
asking. Being
in
the
question.
Is it a bad thing to find out more about what you've learned already?
No, then
why is it like this? Why can't it be this way? Why can't it be like that?
Then it's a good thing. But maybe don't ask why.
Okay, not why, but I mean, like, inquiring further. How does this work? Why? Not why. Okay, how does this work?
What is this?
What is causing it to work like this?
Keep asking that, and you keep asking, you keep asking, you keep asking, not getting stuck on the first thing that comes up, because that's the trap. Why is the trap? The answer is the trap. Being in the question keeps us going through layers, keeps us going through layers, keeps that inquiry going.
It's like me as, let's say, a woman comes to John to say, I never orgasm because I had a sexual trauma. Okay. So what does it mean? So if my brain says, okay, that's the reason, that's why, so you can't. So because you have a reason now. The question, you know, so it comes like, okay, why? So why am I like that? And then my brain can also answer.
Instead of going, what caused the emotional trauma? What caused it?
Or just what else is possible?
Or simply what
is
it?
Can you trace back to what the thing is? Yeah.
Just be with it. The more you try and change it, often the greater the resistance to change comes. Because it becomes our self-definition. There's a wonderful guy called Bernie Siegel. He's a cancer surgeon in America. He wrote a book called Love, Medicine, and Miracles. And he puts a really interesting theory forward in this book. People who heal are people who can see themselves as being healthy and well. So very often when we have like a life-defining illness such as cancer, we become a cancer patient.
Yeah, we define ourselves. That's
it.
I heard it with anorectic support groups.
Yeah, so as soon as you see yourself as anorexic, that becomes your self-definition.
And that's what you focus on.
You see yourself as an alcoholic, that becomes your self-definition. You see yourself as an addict, you see yourself as unhappy, that becomes your self-definition. And that's the should, because that's what I should be.
Yeah.
Instead of
what I could be.
That's it.
Well, that's the only thing I know myself as, and I can't imagine myself as something else.
So I want to tell you where you could be next week. And I'm going to tell you where you should be next week as well.
Please do, because you're going to be there.
Where you could be is at the Sandton Convention Center, where Sexpo is happening from Wednesday.
I told you, I was walking there a few days ago. I was just walking between all these people in suits in this conference, and I was thinking, ha, 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 all of you.
So come and visit us at the Theater of the Erotic. The amazing Casey Jones is going to be there doing squirting. Beautiful sensual bondage. Some amazing orgasmic lessons. Really cool talks and workshops.
And you have this hot couple and all of these.
It is really going to knock your socks off what we are going to do at Sexpo. You want to see real, authentic sexuality.
That's inspiration.
Not the porn crap.
Yeah, I'm wasting data.
You
want to
see, never mind that crap. Come and see something that's real. Come and see real people having real
pleasure
experiences. Mm. Real pleasure.
And it can open a conversation of what could you have or what would you like to have.
That's it. And that's what it's about, authenticity.
Why? It's important to be brave in those journeys. And don't be, you know, a wanker and just say, okay, let me find a miss. Go confront yourself. Go chat to your girlfriend, your wife, saying, you know what, I like this. You can judge me. You can say that I'm horrible, but actually I'm just curious.
You can leave. I'll find someone that likes the same stuff. No, I'm joking. Don't leave. Oh, my God.
I'm going to say something I've never said in nearly 3 years in the studio.
We are ready for it.
Firstly, I'm going to say I wish you all lots of pleasure.
Awesome.
That's good.
And I'm going to say I love you, baby. Thank you for loving me. CliffCentral.com.